Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
That's right. Cecil Shorts Run, the show Hughley in. 5 o'clock fire. We do this each and every day. The hottest stories in Houston, and there is nothing hotter right now than J.J. Watt speaking to the Houston media for the first time in the offseason. And the big thing that he brought away from that was, when asked, are you going to seek a new contract? This is what he said.
No, I don't think that's necessary. I think that I fully understand and respect the situation that I'm in at the moment and what's happened in the past few years. So I'm not going to sit here and demand anything because I'm going out there to prove what I'm worth. And I believe that's the right situation for everybody. I think if I went back and asked for an extension, more money, anything right now, I think that would be the wrong move. And so I'm just going out there and trying to prove my worth and to help this team win games and do everything that I can to earn and make sure that these people know that I'm worth it.
Yeah, that's J.J. Watt saying no, he will not seek one. And I think a lot of people took that as, yes, he feels like he needs to know his worth. He's going to try to prove that he's still the great player he is. I'm not so sure that was what he was trying to get across.
Yeah, it's interesting, man. I love to hear it from him that he's focused on, you know, the team, focused on, you know, he understands his situation, and that's what you want to hear. I think that's why Houston fans love him so much. He's a very realistic guy. He's a very self-motivated guy. But it's going to be interesting. You know, I think he is really weighing his options, man. I think he is the guy that has power, and he's going to see what really is going down. And I think it's smart of him, though, to be honest, not to demand money and be a distraction. It's that one new contract, especially after, you know, all the injuries and everything that's going on. But don't get it twisted. He has some power in the situation.
Yeah, I felt the same way. I thought it could mean a host of things. I thought it could mean, you know, what he really legit meant. Like, hey, I've got injury concerns. I've got I'm at a time where I really need to prove myself and get back to being the old J.J. Watt and maybe change the narrative of the J.J. Watt who's always hurt. Or, or what you alluded to. Like, nah, man, I'm going to play this smart. I'm going to play this smart. I'm going to use the my eyes and see where this organization is going in the direction of this organization. I love what we're doing at quarterback, but there have been some moves that I'm not going to say they can't work, but I don't know about that. Yeah. I have some wonders about that, losing some great players that, you know, it's a fair thing for him to think.
Yeah, and you got to think the time that he is in his career. You know what I mean? I think Stanford Rout hit it earlier on the In the Loop. Like, where you're in your 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th year, you're in the years that you can see the end of the tunnel, right, when you know it's going to come to an end soon, you start to think about a whole lot of different aspects. You know what I mean? You start to think about, okay, is this the best situation for me to win a championship? And if you look at J.J.'s career, it's not too many things he hasn't done, from catching touchdowns to 20 sack years to defensive player of the year to, I mean, he probably had a stretch where he was the most dominant defensive player ever, right? You could argue that. So now it's all about winning that championship, and is this the real place for him to do that?
Yeah, I think also I just saw this come across Twitter, and I thought about it when I heard it. Someone responding to what he said. Brilliant. Tons of respect. Are you listening, Hopkins? Are you listening, Clowney?
Wow.
And I want to be fair. I don't. Wow. I'll defend JJ from this point. I don't think JJ was trying to send no kind of shot.
Not at all.
I think, and I don't know what the hell I just said, no kind of shot. I'm sorry, Teresa. I didn't mean to embarrass you, Mama. But I don't think he was trying to send a shot or say this is the way it should be done. It's the way he's doing it. Hopkins and Clowney were in completely different situations.
Yes, the situations were completely different. Number one, Hopkins, is at the top of his game. Clowney at the top of his game. They're ascending. Whereas the career is just, the trajectory of their career is just differently, if that makes sense.
Yeah, 26 and 28 years old, 27 years old at the time, those two. It's at a different place.
Yep.
I just don't think you can put those situations together. One other thing that he said that kind of ties into this, man, JJ is a PC guy that he generally is very calculated on what he's going to say. But he said just enough to let you know what he was thinking. And this one right here. His head ain't in the sand, baby.
In terms of the internet and the fans and things like that, I mean, I see everything just like you see everything. I mean, my head's not in the sand. I know exactly what's going on in the world. And I think that, you know, when I first got here, my first few years in the league, that's when we went to the playoffs for the first time ever. We won our first playoff game and it was unbelievably exciting. I mean, the fans were it was incredible. I mean, the energy, the excitement, the passion, just everything was there. And I think that our fans have that passion, they have that excitement, they want to put it into this team and this organization, and I think that we have to win. I think that's what it comes down to, is winning cures that. Winning
that,
brings with
it. And that is that. That was him. He said his head is not in the sand, baby. I see what's going on. I hear what's going on. I wasn't just putting together Ultimate Tag and getting married. I know what's happening. My head ain't in the sand, and I see what y'all are doing. Let's just make sure this is right.
He's on Twitter. He's on social media. He sees everything we see. He hears us. He knows. He watches ESPN. He's a very smart individual. He knows what's going on. And you know, I think that was just telling us, hey, I don't know if I agree with everything that's going on right now in the organization. I'm going to sit back and I'm going to watch. I'm going to sit back and see how this year goes, and I'm going to do my part to the best of my ability, but then I'll make a decision that's best for me and my family. This is going to be interesting to follow because he is not a guy, like you mentioned, that could come out and say certain things, and he came out and said, clear as day, my head's not in the sand. I see what's going on. Oh, I see it. That the eyes emoji popped up. I see it. I know exactly what's going on.
That when he said that stopped me in my tracks, Cecil. It stopped. I said, uh-oh. Mm-mm. He just let you know. He just let you know, and yeah. he was professional like he is, but man, I told you, man, we just talked about LeBron James and his impact right there. These guys know their power,
yep,
and they understand how much power they can use, and the smart ones use it right. Not like Antonio Brown, but the smart ones use it right, and J.J. Watt will use it and say, not necessarily will I not sign or talk about an extension because I want to prove myself. That could be it. But also is, hey, I need you to prove yourself. I'm 31. I got injuries. I'm trying to get to the chip. I'm trying to at least play in the game to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I want to see, is this what is best for me and my career? Because I'm not getting tied down somewhere where I'm, you know, 7-9, 8-8.
And that's just a smart thing by him. It's just smart to realize your power, realize your situation, know what's going on in your surroundings. I think it's easy for an athlete, me being a former athlete, to be so caught up in how it's caught up in yourself and so caught up in, I mean, yourself. You're focused on just getting better at football and you're not thinking about the business side of things and what he's doing. Because if you're an owner, they think of business all the time. They think of you as a business. So what he's doing is thinking of himself as a business and putting himself in a situation like, hey, I'm in a situation where I can kind of control the narrative here. You know what I mean? I can play this political card, but at the same time, I'm going to view and see everything that's going on. And if this is not the best situation for me to be in to win that championship, to reach the ultimate goal, then I need to make a decision. It might not be here.
I personally like when great players do that, Cecil, because I think it puts pressure on the organization to say, all right, we gotta actually try to make moves now. We gotta do stuff now. And when great players can understand their power, they'll do it. And he, you can't tell me that man didn't watch Tom Brady and just say, Tom Brady bounced. Tom Brady didn't get exactly what he wanted, didn't see a team that was committed to really winning like they had been before, and I bounced. And I went somewhere where I felt like I could win. And J.J. Watt, to me, if anything, would be smart in doing it. More fire, more heat coming from today. And listen, we got word of the potential salary cuts for MLB's plan the owner gave to the players. And this is revised from the other one. And they tried to give them less money to see if they would agree. And whether you agree that these players are money hungry or that the owners need to take the bullet or whatever, we're not any closer to seeing the Astros back at Minute Maid Park. I just don't see it. When you come to the table from a revised plan to this one, to where just a couple of the numbers, 82 games is still the proposal, which has had the season, and if you make $35 million, your pay will then go down to 7.8. If you make $15 million, it will go down to 4, and then to the lowest. If you make $563,000, it will go down to $262,000. Like, I think you got a hard time getting the players to agree to that.
It's that's before. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But all that's before taxes.
Yes.
Like, it's going to be cut. It's going to be cut even more from that. And it's just not fair from the player's standpoint. You can say what you want. If you were in that player situation, you would not want to sign off and agree to that deal. That is a owner-friendly deal. There's no way that there's even – I can understand a 50-50 split, right? We're playing half the games, we'll give you half of your contract. I can understand that. I wouldn't like it, but I can understand it, right? This is ridiculous. $35 million to $7 million? I don't know what percent that is, but it ain't half. it ain't nowhere near.
I see. $30 million. I know I could add that one. Half of that is $15 million. If you make $30 million – In this proposal, you would get 6.9.
Wow.
That ain't half. That ain't close to it. And I just think we all desperately want to see the Astros and watch baseball. I want to go to Minute Maid. I've never been to Minute Maid Park. I want to take little show my son to Minute Maid Park. I want to go, but it doesn't seem like this is getting closer to it. This proposal is worse than the one they sent to the players. Oh, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Like, it's worse. And you had Blake Snell come out, White Unicorn Blake Snell come out, and you had Bryce Harper, maybe the second best player in the sport, the most popular player in the sport, back him up and say, I'm with you. I'm with you. And I just, like, it makes me feel like baseball is not going to come back. And they're going to sit here and mess this up. They had a chance, in my opinion, Cecil, to really get a lot of new fans if they came out and baseball was the only show in town right now. And now hockey may beat them to the punch, and that's just unfortunate for baseball.
It is. I think it would have been exciting. I'm saying would have been. It still can be an exciting baseball season just simply because it's less games and the games would be more meaningful. But at this rate.
I mean, it feels like Cecil, somebody is going to have to take a drastically different turn in where they are right now.
Yeah.
It is hard. You're a former player. I know the NFL struggles when it turns the Players Association struggles, but do you think they would give in to this, NFL players? You think this would pass?
Our union's so bad, I wouldn't be surprised if it passed. I just to be honest with you, our union's terrible, so I wouldn't be surprised if it passed. Now, this drastic, I would hope so that we would say no, that we would not agree to it. But with the way things have been going on, it is no telling. But to have a pay cut in this drastic manner, to me, it's not even it's not fair to the players, and the owners are just looking out for themselves.
It is. It's interesting. All right, coming up, Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly, this is a big, big season for you. And Cecil Shorts has a feeling that he's seeing something that could lead to us feeling really, really happy about what could be with Chip Kelly. We'll get into that next. Rodden the show, Hughley. Cecil Shorts the Third in today. We've had a lot of fun the last couple of days. Wade Smith will join me tomorrow, so you don't want to miss that. We'll have fun with the ex-Titan as well. But, all right, you have this belief in Tim Kelly, and I don't blame you, baby. Think positive. What'd you say? Speak it into an existence. I love that. Speak it, baby. A mustard seed of faith. Go ahead. Speak that thing into existence. I don't know if I share that faith, but we'll get to it. But what I think the big thing is you're talking about, you love his communication, and this to me was his best moment of his press conference, and I think this speaks to a lot of what you like about what he's done thus far.
I think you always, as you're calling plays or you're a part of the play calling process, you want to make sure that you're seeing the game through the same really set of eyes as the quarterback, that you're all on the same page, that you all have the same vision of the play when the play gets called. And, that's something where as we continue to grow, that's going to be important.
Right. Like the communication and understanding what the players he has likes to do and what they excel in. That, to me, I did love that part saying seeing it through the quarterback, Deshaun Watson's eyes. I did think that was an important thing if that's something he really wants to implement.
Real quick, I have to read this. Wade's, and I know it's a lot going on, show. You coming down here on Saturday. I know you've got the doghouse with your wife. But you just called Wade Smith an ex-Titan, and he is highly, upset about that.
Did I say Titan? My
fault.
I meant Texas. So I'm sorry. Oh, man, Wade, go. Glad I ain't sitting in there with him. Wade, my bad, dog. My bad, big dog. I'm in Texas. I just got going.
Wade is highly upset about that. So if he comes at you tomorrow, just be ready. I'm just letting you know ahead of time.
My fault, man. Oh, man. Did I say that? I don't even believe I said it.
Hell no.
Bridget, you just should have said something in my ear. God, just going to leave me out here to drive like this? Did you hear? My bad. Texan.
There
Did
you
I
go.
Say Titan?
There you go. You definitely said Titan. And he texted me as soon as you said it. He was like, what? Ex-Titan. But back on topic. Back on topic. I'm extremely excited about Tim Kelly. And a few of the things started off last year. At the end of the year, I was at a party, and a lot of the Texans staff was there. And I played with a lot of the staff. I played with T.J. Yates, Brian Cushing, Akeem Dent. This is a lot of the guys that are on staff there, right? And we were communicating. I was communicating with some of the offensive guys, and they were like, yo, we're trying to get Bill O'Brien to let Tim Kelly call the plays. We're trying to get him to let the reins off of him and actually let him call the plays, right? Listen, he has a creative mind. All the guys love the plays he comes up with. All the guys love his mindset, his game planning. His relationship with Deshaun is incredible, right? So I'm like, this is awesome news. But it was frustrating news at the time because we knew he wasn't calling the plays. And it was B.O.B. at the helm, right? Now he's the offensive coordinator. He's the guy. I talked to a guy named Patrick Storm, who does a great job covering the Texans, and he's hearing word. And I watched ESPN and NFL Network, and they're all hearing the same word that he is communicating with the players, and we just heard him in the press conference. He is reaching out to different guys. He's communicating with different guys on the offensive side and trying to see what they do like on offense, what they're seeing, different routes and plays and formations that they enjoy, and trying to get the best feel of how to put together an offense that is masterful for everybody, right? And I think that's what makes a great coach is seeing what they do well and putting the players in that position to do well. So me hearing that is like, yo, this is going to be it. He just said, and we just played the clip, he wants to see the game through Deshaun's eyes. When Deshaun and the OC, and we just heard Warren Moon say the same thing. When you're on the same page with your offensive coordinator and y'all seeing the same things on the field, it makes the whole offense successful. You're calling plays that he wants to run it. He's very good at that. You're seeing what he's seeing. You can communicate well and there's no tension. I'm not saying there won't be a time where you get upset, he gets upset. That's part of the game, right? That's part of relationships. But the relationship is strong and it's there and you can see what he sees and you guys can call each other out and hold each other accountable. And the game plan is going to be tailored to what Deshaun and those guys do well. It makes me nothing but excited about Tim Kelly. That's what this offense seems to be missing is the communication and the willingness to understand the player and put them in that position to succeed. And he mentioned how he's going to use the different backs and make him get out and find the matchups and get him out there and pass catching. When you got two guys in Duke Johnson and David Johnson, the Johnson brothers, the Johnson twins, whatever you want to call them, the DJ and DJ, that can get out the backfield and make tons of plays. I said it yesterday. Duke Johnson, I want him to get more touches some type of way. It seemed like every time he had the ball in his hands, it was an explosive play. It was awesome to see. And if Tim has in mind to use those guys and really utilize his tools, utilize his players to the best of their ability, and he's communicating with them early like this, these are good signs moving forward and getting closer to the season.
Help me to believe, because everything you said sounds amazing, right? And I think they have everything that they need to have to be able to do the things that they want to do, or things to do the things that they should be able to do with this offense. You got speed in a lot of places. Should be an up, high-scoring, high-octane type of an offense, and they have the parts, and they got a quarterback who is now in year four, which is that means his mind and understanding of the NFL game is starting to meet with his skill level. You're at the perfect – they have it. But in particular, what I have talked to people about and what I've seen and what I've even experienced when I've watched the Texans as myself is, like, they don't seem to always do what they do best. They don't seem to take advantage of the best things that they have and use their players in the right way. And my question to you, and I think a lot of people are in this boat, why are you convinced that there will be real change? Why are you convinced that Tim Kelly not only will actually really get to call plays, but Tim Kelly is in a space where he gets to really use his own vision of the offense as opposed to Bill O'Brien? Because when I heard Anthony Weaver, Cecil, I thought, oh man, that's a dude who's running the show. Mm-hmm. That's a dude who's got command. This is his thing. I believe it. When I heard Tim Kelly, I was not convinced yet at that point that, you know, this is a guy that this is his offense. This is his offense. He's going to be the one to change up things. It's hard for me to take it to a point to think that Bill O'Brien is not still heavily of an influence on what's going to happen.
Billy O has too much on his plate, man. I think that's what it comes down to. He has to let the offense go. He knows that, and when he's the head in charge as far as GM and the head coach, it's a lot to do. And I think to be honest, I was a part of the 2015 team when he let George Gotze call the reins. And George could have been more creative and done things more of his style and his way, but he decided to run the exact offense that O'Brien wanted him to run. But O'Brien let him have the reins, right? So O'Brien was frustrated with him at times. He was mad at him at times. He didn't agree with him at times, but he let him have the reins. He let him call plays. Now, Tim, who I think is creative from what I've heard from the coaching staff, who's on the coaching staff now, that the players love him, that he has great and ton of great ideas and has great chemistry with the players already, especially Deshaun Watson had a lot of the stuff that he called early in the season, a lot of the RPOs, a lot of the passing game that he installed during the season, especially early on in the season, were the plays that were very successful. So me hearing that gives me all the hope I need. And knowing that Billy O is going to trust, and this is the thing about Billy O. He had Tim Kelly around him for the last 10, 11, 12 years. He knows what type of guy Tim Kelly is. When I was there in 2015 and a little bit of 2016, he was the guy that worked his butt off. He didn't complain. He had high energy. He came to us in meeting rooms talking about, hey, look out this week for this, look out this week for that. A great knowledge for the game. He was in the tight end room. He was in the offensive line room. He was in the quarterback room. He was in the running back room. He was helping out the defense. He's the guy that understands the game like no other. I have extreme confidence in him moving forward. Now, there will be lumps and bruises, some bumps and bruises as far as him and play calling, but I think overall it will be an outstanding job by Tim. Tim is going to be your guy. Tim is going to lead this offense in a way that we haven't seen
it led before. I wish I had this belief.
I'm telling you, man. We got to give Tim Kelly. You can't let the past reflect what Tim has done. This is Tim's first time. I mean, it's a clean slate for Tim. Tim didn't have much to do with what happened in the past. It's a clean slate for him. This is really his first year. He was announced last year, but this is really his first year calling the plays. Let's give him a clean slate and let's see what he does.
I mean, you. I think you're one of the best people that we can have speak about this because you actually played for Bill O'Brien and you know how he operates. All right, because I think a couple of things that people are going to get to, we're going to have to continue this on the other side because I'm not done with this. A couple of things that we have to get to is, all right, do we believe? I view Bill O'Brien as a control freak. It is hard for me to see him letting this go. I know he's got a lot on his plate, but it's hard for me to view him letting that go. All right, so that's the first piece. Do you believe Bill will actually let it go? And then I think the other piece that people listen have is, all right, so say Bill does let it go. Is Tim Kelly actually good enough to be able to run an offense himself? Right? Dick Vermeil gave it away to Mike Martz. Mike Martz could run an offense himself. And baby, did he run it into the greatest show on turf. I don't know about that from Tim Kelly. And all right, we'll go to break because I have a reasoning that I would like for you to answer. I have a question that I want to pose to you of why I can't. I am stubborn to get to where you are on Tim Kelly. We'll get to that coming up. Clint's out today. Cecil Shorts III, Ron the Show Hughley. And all right, we need to pick this back up, Cecil, because I think Cecil is a great person. He is a Cecil is a believer that Tim Kelly is going to come in and that Tim Kelly's got it upstairs to put together a really good offense, an offense that fits this group. And he believes that Bill O'Brien is a guy who will let him do it. And why is Cecil one of the best? Cecil played for Bill O'Brien. Cecil was there the last time Bill O'Brien gave up play calling duties to George Godsey, who every time I hear him, I just can't get Georgia Tech out of my mind and when he played quarterback for Georgia Tech. But anyway, that is he was there and he understands the guy. And I think the two big questions are, will Bill give it up? Is that really something we look at? And I think of a guy who's made moves like Clowney, who's made moves like Tunsil, who's made moves like DeAndre Hopkins. This is a guy who's a control freak, who wants and needs to have a good season. I would wonder if he would give all of that up in the midst of a pandemic when we don't have the normal amount of time where we can be around each other. Two, I don't know about Tim Kelly. And here is the question. When I listen and when I look at the resume of Anthony Weaver, Anthony Weaver played for Rex Ryan. He's coached with Mike Pettine. He coached under Rex Ryan. He coached under Romeo Crennel. Anthony Weaver has been around in different styles, in different coaches, in different trees, in different ways of defense. At 3-4, he's been around. Tim Kelly has, as you said earlier, been with Bill O'Brien for 12 years. And that's been the extent of his coaching. So I pose to you again, where do you think he is getting things that differ from what he's learned?
Well, one thing about being in the league and being around different coaches and different styles, you pick up things from watching film from other teams as well. You know what I mean? So he has his own creative mind. He's been around O'Brien for the longest, but O'Brien's learned from other coaches. He's been around the league. So I think, and then just thinking about the type of Tim guy, he's a guy that studies. He's a guy that works hard. He's a guy that had to grind his whole entire career, right? So when it comes to his creativity, yes, he's going to run some things that's similar to what O'Brien has. That's definitely going to be the case, but he also has things that he may have made, he may have came up with, or he may have watched Sean McVay run this concept, or he may have watched whoever else run this different concept. He's going to add it to what they already have and what's good with Randall Cobb and Brandon Cooks and Kenny Stills and all those guys. You want to look at film from what, okay, for example, what makes Brandon Cooks great? What did he do well in New England? What did he do well with the Rams? Let's figure out that concept and let's bring it on here. Let's call it this. They might have called it a different play there, but here we're going to call it A, B, and C, if that makes sense.
Look at what they say the Randall NFL's Cobb, a copycat league.
That's all it is. That's all it is. So when it comes to being his own man and where he's going to get, and I get the resume part, right? He's been around O'Brien for a long time. I get it.
I mean, wouldn't it be natural to think that's where the majority of his influence comes from?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big influence, but we can't act like O'Brien is not and I've been around the guy for, like I said, 2015, 2016. He is a very intelligent guy. He knows, and Bro Bryant knows extreme amount of football. He is a very, very smart guy. And he, it was a part of the offense, whether you like it or not. That was one of the best offenses in the history of the league with Randy Moss and Tom Brady and everybody else that was on that squad. So he's seen the offense, and he ran the offense at the highest level before. So to learn from that guy is a big deal. We're not gonna say that that's not a big deal, if that makes sense. Now, everything he calls in the right situations at the right times may not be the case, but that's what we're thinking that Timmons can do, call the right plays at the right times.
Yeah, no, and if I'm saying this, I don't, and people get mad, but I don't think that Bill O'Brien's a bad coach. I think Bill O'Brien's a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's great. I think he's a good coach. Everything, his resume screams that. He's a really good coach. His resume screams that. Now, he has been a part of that great offense, and you're right. But I think the big thing that we've started to notice is his ability to take advantage of the strengths of the player that he has, especially the player that's under center. Like, yeah, man, if Deshaun had skill set similar to Brady, I think the offense probably would run better,
mm-hmm.
right? But they don't have the same skill set, and their skill set is different. Like I've watched Andy Reid, and if you look at his history, Andy Reid has had, just as a head coach, he's had Donovan McNabb. The system looked one way with him, took advantage of his skills. He's had Jeff Garcia. The system looked completely different than it did with him, took advantage of his skills. He's had Michael Vick, took advantage of his skills. He's had Alex Smith. The offense looked – and then the Alex Smith and then to Patrick Mahomes, who had completely different skill sets, the offense couldn't look any more different because they took advantage of those. That's the next key. Can Tim Kelly – because if it's his, can Tim Kelly now put in place the things that are advantageous for Deshaun? And that's, to me, the biggest thing that we've not seen. It's a copycat mm-hmm. league, but mm-hmm. we don't see a lot of quarterbacks that are like Deshaun, so maybe it's harder to copycat what you can do to bring out the best out of him. That would be my wonder.
And that's what's going to separate Tim Kelly from everybody else. Can he put Deshaun in situations that make him successful? I just watched a national championship game from 2017 when they beat Alabama, right? And he was killing. He was dicing, and he was killing Alabama. He was going off.
What
and seeing
player.
The RPOs and seeing the scheme and him rolling out and dashing and sprinting out and all this different stuff that he did so well, I expect Tim Kelly to see those things and implement it in the game plan. I think you will see a high-powered offense with Deshaun. What does Deshaun do well? I think that's what we will see from Tim Kelly in this offense this year. That's the only way it's going to get better. You have to surround it around what Deshaun does, right? You can't just make him be somebody that he's not. You can't make other receivers or tight ends or offensive linemen and running backs do what they're not good at doing. You have to find what they do well, implement it into the game plan, and get an identity and do it week in and week out.
Because do you agree, would you say, I think this offense, for this team to get to where they want to get to, and I've said this, Cecil, and you may think I'm crazy on this one, I'm not saying I think that they will do this. I just think from where they are, their expectation, I look at their team, their expectation should be AFC championship game, the next step. That's what they've said to me. That's where their expectation should be, is to get to the AFC championship game. For them to do that, would you agree, this offense has to be the catalyst. This has to be an offensive-laden team to where this offense is the dictator on this team. This offense is the power. You want the defense to be solid. You hope to see some big improvements. But this should be an offensive team.
Yes, I totally agree. This needs to be an offensive team. To be honest, it's an offensive league. That's just what it is. So for them to take that step to get to the AFC championship and give them a chance to be in the AFC, to fight who I think is going to be in the AFC championship, to fight against Kansas City, it has to be led, and you have to score points. And you have the athletes. You have the ability to be an offense like that. But it's about calling the right plays in the right situation, and a lot of pressure is going to be on Tim Kelly.
This is good. 713-572-4610. Did Cecil change you? Did Cecil bring you over? Come on. Come on, Houston. Did Cecil bring you over. Cecil came in here and he brought a terrific message saying Tim Kelly is the guy. He will do it. He is the guy. He's got the mind. Because from what I'm hearing from you is Tim Kelly and Bill O'Brien potentially are different people in the way they look at football, at least in some space, to where Tim Kelly can see something and implement something different than Bill O'Brien has over the last couple of years. Believe it, baby. Did he sway you? Did he make you feel more confident?
I hope so. Did I get you a little bit? I know you felt like, I'm not sure.
The place where you get me is at least with it's where it jumps off from, the jumping off point. Like when I hear you speak about, listen, I'm telling you, Ron, he did it with George Gotsi. He will, like, is the kickoff point of that I'm hard to get past is, will Bill O'Brien give up the control? And you do at least make me feel better about that will actually happen. Because I'm having a hard time getting to that leap.
Yeah.
Is that he will do that. Cecil Shorts, Ron the Show, Hugh Glenn, with you till 6 o'clock. Remember, Texans All Access with Mark Vanderman, and John Harris coming up behind us. Man, before we hit J.J. Watt and the big news of the day with him, I know that you have youngsters, and I know you. I don't know if you've been to this place, but I was in a place about midnight last night where I had my 3-month-old just letting it go, just screaming, and you know I got to try to keep him down so the rest of those kids, the other two kids, don't wake up, and you know you got a problem if they get up. I got a 6-7 minute window. Because, you know, my daughter will come out walking. What's wrong? Take care. What are you doing? Take care. So my wife, she always says, yeah, just sing him like praise and worship songs.
Okay.
And they wasn't working. They wasn't working at all. So then I just had to sing songs that I just have confidence that I know all the words to that he'll believe me. So.
And what songs were those that you felt confident in?
I mean, I was about two away from Genuine in those jeans. Because I got all those words. No, but I...
Oh, that's funny.
I did. Bridget will be mad I didn't prepare for this. But what got him is one shining moment. I love... College basketball is my favorite sport because Kansas basketball is probably the only thing that I still feel like I'm diehard at. I started singing that one shining moment, and it worked, baby. It worked. I didn't have to go into Genuine or Drew Hill 5 steps because that was coming next. But I got to sing that one shining moment, and the one shining moment like Luther, the Luther version, the Luther Vandross version. They had somebody else sing it that wasn't as good, the Luther Vandross version. Luther. But I sung it, boy. I got him to go to sleep because I'm telling you, man, it's. Man, anybody out there whose parents have got kids, and I know you've been there, Cecil, where, oh God, I gotta get him to be quiet. Because if I get these other two up, it's over. Then you gotta go through the process of getting them to go back to sleep again. And oh man. Yep, there it was. I hit him with it. Well, the ball is I hit him with it, boy. He started screaming and he said and he came down. It was beautiful. Yeah, that was big, man. Got him to go to sleep. Held him down for a little bit. I stopped singing. He fluttered his eyes. I came back too, and I hit him with one shining moment. I hit him, man. It was beautiful. Oh yeah, that's it, man. Them praise and worship songs weren't working.
They weren't hitting last night.
No, they weren't. They weren't working last night for him, man. I had to go in there. I had to pull them out. All right. The big thing with J.J. Watt, man, is one of the things that I heard through this, Cecil, was, man, he needs help. Like, it's time. J.J. Watt has carried this defense for a long, long time. Now he needs help. He needs somebody to alleviate the pressure off of him. He needs somebody to step up. And I think there are people here, starting with Anthony Weaver. But, man, for where he is health-wise, what's going on with him, he desperately, desperately needs help from the defensive players. So he is not just the main person to feel like, if I'm not there, if I'm not playing up to a certain standard, that this team won't be able to go.
I totally agree, man. I think the first person that starts with is Anthony Weaver. I think the OC and the DC this year is going to be huge for the success of the Houston Texans. The defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, those guys putting their players in the right position, the right schemes, the right everything to succeed, and finding a way, talking defensive coordinator now and Weaver, finding a way to use JJ, finding a way to find the right scheme to get him on the right matchup that can use his strengths versus somebody's weaknesses, finding the right, the right rotation of guys to come in, and a rotation of guys coming in and rushing the passer, whether that's Duke Ejiofor, whether that's Charles Omenihu, who those two guys I think need to have huge years, whether that's Ross Blackwell, Blacklock, or Jernigan, and then going back on Whitney. Whitney needs to have a big year. He just got paid. He just got broke off.
Yeah.
For the third time. Needs to have a double. He needs to have a very impactful year. He can't have the year he had last year. He started off hot. JJ got hurt. He kind of mellowed down. He needs to have a consistent year of putting pressure on this quarterback. And when you can put pressure on the quarterback, that helps take pressure not only off of JJ, but off of the defenders in the back in the secondary. It helps the whole team. So you got to find ways to get different guys in different situations and get pressure on the guys. But Whitney, Omenihu, Duke, and the new guys coming in along with Weaver, they need to figure this out.
We've seen and seen what this defense looks like without him. And, man, there's a lot of pressure there if you're him.
Yeah.
There is a ton of pressure to think, man, I got to get on the field. I got to – and not just be on the field. I've got to be damn near dominant, to be honest with you. And when we understand what we talked about before, his health is such a concern – that's got to be a mental thing that he's dealing with. And this, to me, is a mental thing that he's dealing with. There is so much pressure. That has to be alleviated. That has to. And I think the number one, as you said, is Weaver. And I'm really excited to see him be able to be used in these different schemes that we keep hearing Anthony Weaver will implement. I definitely think that this will be a defense that's much more aggressive, which I think helps him as well. But the three guys is Weaver, Whitney Mercilus, I completely agree with you. And then I know it's tough, but by November, something like that, November, December, like, they're going to need Ross Blacklock to take a step and be a guy who can consistently beat one-on-ones. Mm. And the reason why I look at him, and I normally don't like to do that to rookies. I normally don't like – I got a buddy who writes, a great writer for Yahoo Sports. He always says, rookies suck. And generally, especially across the defensive line, it takes them a while, and sometimes they're not. But, man, when you look at what they have there, I've said this and I believe this, outside of J.J. Watt, there is not a better interior pass rusher on this team, just skill set interior pass rusher right now than that kid Ross Blacklock. No, Tim Jernigan, if you just watch them, You can just see moves and steps and how they negotiate guard centers. You can just see it from guys.
Yeah.
You can just see some guys just aren't – like, you know, the guy who just built pull rushes every single time, because that's they move. That's they move. So, I look at him compared to Duke Ejiofor, compared to Omenihu, like all Jernigan, Brandon Dunn. To me, rushing the passer, he is the best guy. Right, and if this offense is going to be a high-powered offense, which you would hope they would be, there'd be a lot of pass rushing downs. And to me, you got to have guys who can consistently beat one-on-ones to help alleviate pressure off of J.J. Watt. And those three, to me, make the most sense.
Yeah, I have to agree. That's a lot of pressure on Ross, though. And I'm hoping he was projected a first-round pick. We were lucky to get him, and Texas were lucky to get him in the second round early on. He definitely has the potential, and if you watch his tape, watch his film, not just highlights, you got to watch his film. He shows that, right? He shows it. But that's a lot for a rookie, man. You're not going against Pac-12 no more. You're not going against, you know, Iowa State and all these guys. You're going against grown men. So, but when you draft a guy like that, you expect him to make an impact. So I'm hoping he can do that. I'm hoping he can get some not only pass rush but helping the run stopping as well. Because if you look at the AFC South, you got Leonard Fournette to stop. You got Marlon Mack to stop. You got Jonathan Taylor to stop. You got some guys you gotta slow down. So I'm Derrick Henry. So you need that not only a pass rush, but a guy that can be stout in the running game. So it's going to be exciting to see if he can live up to that this year.
Well, and that was – I mean, that was such the problem last year is when even when J.J. Watt was playing, enough guys to beat one-on-ones, you saw Whitney, while he was playing, could do it more consistently earlier in the season. But that was really it. Then when Watt was out, Whitney became the focal point where pressure was slid over to. And it wasn't just Whitney who wasn't producing. Then it was a struggle for other players around.
Yeah.
So you had to get guys who can beat one-on-ones. All right. And from the interior next to J.J. Watt, if you're lining those two up next to each other and he's able to beat one-on-ones or get pressure with one-on-ones, that to me is big time. And I just think it gives you a chance to take a breath, Cecil, where it's like, all right, I don't have to get home, or it's all lost. Like I feel like on third downs or something, JJ's like, if I don't get there, nobody's gonna get any pressure. He's just gonna sit there all day, and that's pressure to go along with already the pressure he's under.
And to be honest, I know the show's about to end quickly, but to be honest, real quick, I think it needs to be some type of load management for JJ, just to help him out. He's getting a little older. He's had a lot of injuries. And I'm not saying sit him out of games, right? We can't do that in the NFL. Every single game matters. But finding situations that he doesn't necessarily need to be in, maybe that will help him last a little longer, because we need him in November, December, January, and hopefully February, if that makes sense. So if you can find ways to get those other guys going and keep JJ off the field a little bit early on to help him stay healthy, let's do it.
Yeah, the load management, you got to be smart, man.
Got to be smart.
Yeah, you got to be smart with them. Like, they play the Bengals and the Lions. Maybe he's not in there at the same rate that he is against the Chiefs.
The Lions going to the playoffs this year, according to Dan Orlovsky and Jalen Rose this morning on Get Up. So,
man. Dan says some really weird things sometimes. And Jalen, and God bless him, he pulled Molly off. Cecil had a lot of fun with you. Cecil had a lot of fun with you these last couple of days. Wayne Smith, the former Texan, will be with us tomorrow. Bridget, always great. Bridget Falcone, fantastic. Houston, as always, I'm Ron the Show. And we love you, baby.
When the day the lies ahead of me, Coors Light, and jump off in this pool.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.